you. Good morning. It is great to be with y'all in Des Moines at the Iowa State Fair. First of all, thank you very much, Rachel, and everybody here at the Des Moines Register and the folks that help organize this. I know that Des Moines is always very proud. Iowa is very proud about this state fair, and you have a lot of reason to be. I'm especially excited this year because I'm here with my family, my wife, Erica, and our daughter, Karina, and our son, Christian. This is a real treat for me because, as y'all can imagine, like all the candidates, I don't often get to travel with my family. And so it's neat that as a family, we get to spend a little bit of time together. And I think that Karina and Christian are looking forward to the bumper cars and maybe the sky ride and to that bacon that y'all sell on a stick. I want to talk to you this morning about what we're going to become as a nation. I bet that if we went around here, this crowd, and we listened to the stories of your family, that we would hear a lot of stories that reflect the best of our nation, of the American dream coming true. And that's true in my case, too. I grew up with my brother Joaquin and my grandmother and my mom on the west side of San Antonio. My grandmother had come over to San Antonio when she was 7 years old with her younger sister because their parents had died. And they came from northern Mexico through Eagle Pass, Texas in 1922 and ended up there on the west side of the city. She got yanked out of school when she was still in elementary, so she never got a formal education. She ended up working her entire career as a maid, a cook, and a babysitter because of that. She raised my mom as a single parent, and my mom raised my brother and me as a single parent too. My mom became the first in our family to get to graduate from high school and then go on to college. My brother and I had the opportunity to go to Stanford and then to Harvard Law School. We went together because, you know, can't get rid of my brother. He likes to say that the way to tell us apart is that I'm 1 minute uglier than he is, but it's not true. I'm a minute older. I had the chance to come home after that and to get elected to the San Antonio City Council, to become the first in my family, along with my brother, to be a professional as an attorney, and then serve for 4 years on the City Council in San Antonio until I ran for mayor when I was 30. I was trying to become the youngest elected mayor in San Antonio at the time, running against a gentleman that was 70, trying to become the second oldest. He won in a close runoff, but we had strict term limits. And so I came back 4 years later and I became the mayor of my hometown. And I served there for 5 years in that city, that's a city of almost 1.5 million people now, until I got a call on April 16, 2014 from President Barack Obama. And I remember the date because it's not every day that the president calls you and asks you if you want a job. I had just driven through the drive-thru at Panda Express. And you know how on your phone it says unknown or block call? It said private. So if you ever get a call that says private, answer the phone. Okay. Hopefully it'll be me on the other end of the line calling you. Well, I did answer the phone, and I ended up serving the last 2.5 years as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, managing a department that had 8,000 employees, that had a $48 billion budget, 54 field offices across the United States. I got to see, in that time, all of the ways that communities across this country are grappling, not only with housing, but with everything that goes along with that. The fact that where you live often determines the quality of your child's education, what kind of job opportunities you have. It determines, in many communities, especially rural ones like here in Iowa, the kind of health care access that you have, because too many hospitals in rural Iowa have had to close, or if they've closed, their inpatient psychiatric care or OBGYN care. In places like Flint, Michigan, that I visited when I was HUD secretary and I visited again 2 months ago, it determines something as simple as whether you can drink clean water. I'm running for president because I believe that we live in the greatest nation on earth. Because I know that we need a president that understands that in the years to come, we need to move forward as one nation with one destiny. And I'm convinced that our destiny in the years to come is to be the smartest, the healthiest, the fairest, and the most prosperous nation on earth. The smartest, the healthiest, the fairest, and the most prosperous nation on earth. If we're going to be the smartest nation on earth, we need to start with universal pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds. And when I was mayor of San Antonio, we did something about that. We put on the ballot an initiative called Pre-K for SA, a 1/8-cent sales tax increase that went to the voters to significantly expand high-quality full-day pre-K. Now, we were in Texas, and so some people wondered about that, but more than 53% of the voters of San Antonio said yes to investing in our 4-year-olds. And today, San Antonio has one of the best pre-K programs in all of the country because of it. We do improve K-12 education by paying teachers what they deserve, by reducing class sizes, by making sure that no matter what the needs of a child are, they can have their needs met at the school they go to. Because too oftentimes, the parents of special needs children feel like they have to be lawyers to argue with a bureaucracy to get what they need for their child. That shouldn't be the way that it is, and we can do better than that. We also know that today, for the first time in our nation's history, we're competing and collaborating with countries around the world that are producing tons and tons of young people that are intelligent, they're hungry, they're ambitious, they're creative, they're innovative. That means, on our end, we don't have a single person to waste. We need to do two things. Number one, we need to make sure that higher education is available and affordable to everybody who graduates from high school. Tuition-free public state universities, community colleges, and job training and certification programs. And that we reinvest trade programs into our high schools so that folks can get gainful employment and make a good living if they choose not to go to higher education. If we're going to be the healthiest nation on earth, we need a different healthcare system. Like many of y'all, you know, I grew up with a grandmother, and maybe for you it was your parents, or it was a sibling, or other relatives. Well, my grandmother, she had diabetes. She was a type 2 diabetic. And I watched her get worse and worse as I got older and older, and she did, until she had to have one of her feet amputated right before she passed away. But that whole time, she had Medicare. I want to strengthen Medicare for the people who are on it and then make sure that it is available to every single person who wants it in this country. I also believe that if you have a private health insurance plan that is strong, it's solid, that you want to hold on to, you should be able to hold on to that. We should be able to do both of those things. What I don't believe is that the profit motive of big pharma or big insurance companies should ever determine whether somebody gets the health care that they need in our country. Nobody should have to travel to Canada or to Mexico to get medication or get a dental procedure or a medical procedure. And we need to do things like end this distinction between physical health care and mental health care and invest in treating mental health care. If we're going to be the fairest nation on earth, we need to reimagine our criminal justice system. Too many young people of different backgrounds, from different places, get caught up in a criminal justice system that puts a big black X on their record and means they can't get a good job in the future. They can't get good housing. They can never get on the productive path in life that they want to be on. We need sentencing reform. We need to invest in public defenders. We need to do cash bail reform, and also do things like legalize marijuana and invest in diversion programs so that people don't get caught up in this system in the first place. And we also need to make sure that no matter what the color of your skin is, how much money you have, or what neighborhood you live in, that you're treated the same way by law enforcement. I'm the only candidate that has put forward a plan to reform policing in the United States. Because, you know, we've seen too many of these videos, video after video after video, that shows us, unfortunately, especially if you're a young black man in the United States, that too often times you're treated differently in this country, and that shouldn't be the case. My plan would add transparency and accountability to police departments and make sure that we invest in groups that are trying to mend the rift that too often exists between police and community. Because the criminal justice system begins with the cop on the street, and so many of our cops, I know, do a great job, But I actually believe that it's not a case of bad apples out there. The system is broken, and we need to fix it. And my plan would fix it. If we're going to be the fairest nation on earth, we also need to do things like pass the Equality Act so that no matter your sexual orientation or your gender identity, you can't be discriminated against. We won't have second-class citizens in the United States of America. And look, well, I bet like some of y'all, I grew up with a single mom, and I watched how hard my mother worked to support me and my brother and her mom, my grandmother. We need to ensure that women get equal pay for equal work in our country, and that we pass the Equal Rights Amendment. And also that we defend a woman's right to choose, because it is under assault right now in our country. If we're going to be the most prosperous nation on earth, it has to mean prosperity for everybody. Recently, Congress, the House of Representatives, passed legislation to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. The Senate of the United States needs to pass that as well, and the President should sign it. We need to make sure that people can earn a good living and provide for their families. But that also means that we need to support labor so that unions can represent workers, and worker productivity that has been on the rise for so many years can be matched by the wages and the benefits that people get. Right now, that's not happening in our country. Too many people that are working 40, 50, 60 hours a week are still struggling to pay the rent. Y'all see that here in Des Moines. You've seen the rents go up tremendously over the last several years. That means that we need to do things like invest in housing that is affordable to the middle class, to the working poor, and to the poor. I have a housing plan that would create more affordable housing in small towns and in big cities so that we can do just that, and people can have a safe, decent, affordable place to live. Because I'll tell you, I see housing as a human right. I don't believe that in this, the wealthiest nation on earth, that anybody should sleep on the streets, especially our veterans, because too many veterans make up the homeless in this country. And I know that we can do it, because in the Obama administration, I, along with many others, worked hard, and we reduced veteran homelessness between 2010 and 2016 by 47%. Imagine that. Washington worked the way that it should, and we can do that again. If we're going to be the most prosperous nation on earth, it also means that we need to reform our immigration system. We need to harness the potential of immigrants. Y'all saw just yesterday this raid in Mississippi where they rounded up 680 people, and there were little kids, little children, that were wondering where their parents were. They got out of school and they didn't know where they were. We can do better than this. We can fix our broken immigration system so that we put undocumented immigrants, as long as they haven't committed a serious crime, on a pathway to citizenship. And we end family separation and detention. And we fix the legal immigration system, because people have to wait too long to become a citizen right now. We can also do things like a 21st century Marshall Plan for Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, so that people can find safety and opportunity at home instead of having to come to the United States. That's a smarter, more effective, more humane way to do immigration than what we're doing right now. Finally, if we're going to prosper in the years ahead, we need to address the most existential threat to our country. We need to combat climate change. My first executive order would be to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, and then to invest in a Green New Deal so that we create jobs and also get to net zero in the years ahead. Don't let anybody tell you that we can't do both of those things. Y'all know that here in Iowa. We know it in Texas, in the wind energy industry, the solar energy industry. We can create great jobs in the new energy economy and also protect our planet, ensure that we get to net zero, that we have clean water and clean air. All of that is possible. But before we do that, we're going to need new leadership. And you know, I don't want to make our country anything again. I don't want us to go backward. I want to make our country better than it's ever been. I want us to move forward, to go into the future, to create great opportunity for everybody. And, you know, I got tested very early on in my tenure. I went back home. I got a good job. I bought a house, a car. I had $950 in student loan payments. By the way, my education plan addresses student loan debt relief. And then I got elected to the city council, and the city council only paid $1,000, about $1,000 a year back then, even though we were a city of 1 million people. The law firm that I was at got a client. The client wanted those of us on the city council to do a land deal. The land deal was that they wanted to put a golf course over our water supply, because we relied on an underground aquifer. I was against it because I had concerns about their environmental plan. I didn't think it was strong enough. I thought the chemicals that you use on a golf course might seep into the water supply and compromise it. So I wanted to vote against it. But under the ethics rules for lawyers in Texas, because there are ethics rules for lawyers, believe it or not, you can't just go against a client like that. So I was stuck. On the one hand, my constituents wanted me to vote against it. They wanted me to represent them, to do the right thing. On the other hand, my livelihood depended on me shutting up and saying that I had a conflict of interest. So one day I walked into my law firm and I quit my job, and then I went and I voted against that land deal on the city council. And I tell you that because before I ever went into politics, I worried that I would have to change who I was in order to succeed. You hear that politics can be dirty or corrupting, that you have to play this game with people that usually get their way or special interests that have a lot of control. I was happy that when that first test came when I was 27 years old, that I stood up and I did the right thing for the people that I was there to represent. There's nobody that gets tested more than the President of the United States. This president has failed that test. But I want you to know, if I'm elected president, that I will keep my eye on the ball, that I will work hard every single day so that you and your family can have good health care when you need it, that your children and your grandchildren can get a good education so that they can reach their dreams, and that you can have good job opportunities, whether you live in a small town or in a big city. I'm not taking any federal lobbyist money or any PAC money, corporate or otherwise, in this campaign. This campaign is fueled by the people of the United States. And little by little, week by week, month by month, we're getting stronger. So I believe that we're going to keep working hard. I believe that there are many folks here who will be ambassadors of this campaign, who will spread a good word throughout Iowa, because y'all go first. We need you. Talk to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family, to your coworkers. I hope that we'll keep getting stronger, and that by February 3rd, when the Iowa caucuses come around, that I can be a front runner and go on and do well in the other states and on Super Tuesday, and then defeat Donald Trump on November 3rd, 2020. And then on January 20th, 2021, we will say adios to Donald Trump. Thank you very much. Thank y'all very much. He's gonna give me a sense of the time. I think we have like 1 minute, 2 minutes, all right. Yeah.
The renewable fuels are having trouble because the biodiesel tax credit is approved ad hoc every year. Would you commit to a multi-year biodiesel tax credit?
Thank you very much for the question. I do think that we need to do what it takes to ensure that renewable fuels are part of the equation. And so we're going to release our climate plan in the next few weeks. And, you know, I would say stay tuned for that. All right. Yeah.
Why aren't you in El Paso with Beto O'Rourke?
Yeah, the question is, why am I not in El Paso with Congressman O'Rourke? First of all, let me tell you that Congressman O'Rourke, I think, has done a wonderful job of expressing all of the emotion that all of us have about what happened in El Paso. And our hearts go out to the people of El Paso and, of course, to Congressman O'Rourke. I think that he's done a wonderful, fantastic job of expressing what all of us feel. You know, I'll tell you that we thought about that, but I didn't want to go there just to go there. I'm not going to go there to campaign or to try and use that, you know, and Congressman O'Rourke is from El Paso, so he's at home. He should be there. I am not from there, and I did not want to go in the first couple of days after that happened, because I don't think what they need is more presidential candidates over there. What they need is us expressing their support, our support. And what they really need is they need action. They need Congress. They need Mitch McConnell to get the Senate back in session and to pass common sense gun safety legislation. That's what we can do for the people of El Paso and the people of Dayton and everywhere else. So, you know, we need to actually take action now. And this morning I did put out a policy proposal on combating white nationalism, domestic terrorism that includes gun safety legislation. So I hope that y'all will check that out. Thank y'all very much.